Good morning, everyone. To our guests, as always, we are honored by your presence. Know that you are our esteemed and honored guest. And as you've already heard, we will be having a luncheon later today, to which we invite you to stay with us so that together we can rejoice and get to know with one another. To our brethren, to those who were here since our Bible class, we thank you for being here. And for those who were just now able to get here, we are also grateful with your presence, and we hope and pray that together we will continue to glorify our God in spirit and in truth. Please open your Bibles to the letter written to the Colossians. The letter written to the Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, where we will begin there at verse 9. The Bible reads, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our beloved Father and our majestic King, Father, we prostrate before Thy feet through the avenue of prayer, giving Thee all glory and honor, for truly You are the only one worthy of such. Father, we express our gratitude, and we thank You, Lord, with our lips and as well as with our loyalty and devotion. Father, because You have always provided for us. You've provided for us the health, the life, the time, the blessing, Father, that we have for this day to be able to assemble in accordance to Thy word. You provided for us, Father, the blood of Thy Lamb without spot so that we could find redemption. And Father, as we continue to understand what our relationship in Thy Son should be with one another, please, Father, open our minds. Please allow us, Father, to pay close attention to what Thy Word teaches, and that, Father, this servant of Thine may speak as Thy servant and not his own. That I, Father, may speak in accordance to Thy will, and that I, Father, may speak with my actions more than with my words. Father, we thank You once more for Thy love, and we thank You for always being with us, where we pray this in the glorious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our relationship in Christ. You know, as we were saying earlier this morning in our Bible study, those pronouns are indeed very important to keep in mind. Because we are talking about a relationship that is exclusive between you and I, but it is a relationship that finds its origins and has its roots specifically in Christ. If you are not in Christ, then this truly doesn't apply to you. It can apply to you, but we will discuss for the moment to those to whom it does apply. We've been discussing words that identify and describe of what the nature of that relationship between one another is, of what the consequences or the results of that nourishing relationship should be. And we've been seeing scriptures that have been as a spotlight, if you will, that are revealing to us whether we have been or have not been fulfilling what God demands of us. As we see here in Colossians chapter 1, we see specifically there at verse 10 that our relationship should be a fruitful one. But it is interesting that when we see the verse within the words that are surrounding it, we see that it is fruitful in every good word. And then Paul goes in and explains using a synonymous term of increasing in the knowledge of God. When we're talking about our relationship in Christ, brethren, this word fruitful should bring to our mind that of a relationship between a husband and his wife. We receive the commandment given there in Genesis chapter 2, go and multiply and be fruitful. We know and we understand that the word fruitful used in terms of a family is to be reproductive. It is to fill the land of your lineage. It is to increase those members of your tribe. And when we see the word here in the Greek used by the writer to the Colossians, we see that he is using a term, metaphorically speaking, referring to the fact that we too should be filling the land with the gospel. But not only should we be fruitful in terms of evangelism, but notice that here the fruitfulness comes in terms of our relationship with one another. Notice that the passage specifically read is a prayer. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. From verse 9 all the way to verse 12, we see that it is a prayer. And the prayer that the Apostle Paul, along with his companions, because he says that we also, is that there be fruitfulness among the church, that the Lord's body will be fruitful toward one another. And thus, brethren, what we see then is that we have to ask the question, well then, how are we fruitful other than making more Christians? Pay attention to the fact, brethren, of what Paul was praying specifically for. Notice that the Apostle Paul prays in verse 9, that you may be filled with knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And finally, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The fruitfulness that Paul was praying for, brethren, all is in spiritual terms. And notice how verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12, the apostle gives us, if you will, our outline for the minutes that we have left. Notice how the apostle Paul, in his prayer, begins by identifying that our relationship in Christ should be fruitful when it pertains to our knowledge of God's will. How does it become fruitful? How do we, as a relationship, as a body, and more specifically, as a family, how do we then multiply in this knowledge of God's will? Well, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, brethren, we each have a part to teach one another. We each can encourage each other when we are plagued with doubt. And if we understand or we see that there are certain areas that others do not, we, brethren, can stir each other to love and good works, as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 teaches us. But if you will, go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And observe how the Apostle Peter shows us how to be fruitful in knowing God's will. And he begins by demonstrating those who do not know God's will and what they do. And because of this, they were unfruitful to the work of our God. Observe there, beginning at verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You, therefore, now remember the pronouns. Remember the pronouns. They are untaught. They are unstable. They are the ones who twist to their own destruction. All of the scriptures. But you, the inspired Peter says, you who has not read the scriptures, who has not twisted them, who has the understanding and has been taught by godly men, you should be fruitful. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. How, Peter? How do we do this? How can we become aware? How can we be steadfast? How can we prevent ourselves from being led by error? But grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Brethren, we are fruitful when we stimulate growth. When we bring forth growth in one another. We, brethren, have to nourish each other. You see, a plant, brethren, grows not simply by being left alone. We have to actually take the seed and put it into the ground. We have to actually cover it with the soil. We have to water that soil. We have to tend to it. And the more we nourish it, the more that we take care of it, the more that we pay attention to it, the greater the possibility becomes of that growing into a beautiful plant or a beautiful tree that will bring forth good fruit. Our relationship is fruitful, brethren, and that we first must not be the source of discouragement. That we must not be the ones who are actually being the worm that poisons and kills the tree. That we, brethren, must be prepared to eliminate any false doctrine from our vocabulary. But in order for us to do that, we must be learned and we must be understanding of what God's will is. Those who twist the scriptures, as the Apostle Paul Peter says, notice how they were not being fruitful with Paul's work. Instead, they were being destructive. They were being unrighteous with the work of our brother Paul. The words that he wrote with the intention of growing, of teaching, of nourishing. Those words that he was inspired to write, of which Peter alludes to in verse 16. Notice how those who were unfruitful were stymieing the growth. They were destroying the work that Paul had put in effort with the intent of growing our understanding in God's will. Of revealing what was the will, or rather what is the will of our God. Have you ever wondered why the apostle found it necessary to write the second letter to the Thessalonians? Why he found it necessary to write the second letter to the Corinthians? Why he found it necessary to write the letter to the Galatians? Because there were those who were twisting. There were those who were abusing. Who were using his lessons for evil and not for good. And instead of producing growth, they were destroying and preventing it from happening. Brethren, to be fruitful with one another means that we grow ourselves first. But we grow with the intent of encouraging, guiding, and teaching each other. And together we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our growth, even though it is pertaining to us individually, should be selfless. Because my purpose for growing isn't simply and solely because I want to be saved, but it should be because I want to save others, but I also want to keep the saved saved. The Apostle Peter, brethren, teaches us then in verse 17 that we should already know. But did you pay attention to the fact that he says that we should be beloved? You therefore, beloved. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 5. And observe what it means to be fruitful. What our relationship being fruitful is demonstrated as. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 and verse 2. Observe what the Bible says there. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. You have an old King James translation or an American Standard, you will see as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. To be fruitful, brethren, the relationship that is fruitful will bring forth a sweet smelling aroma in the form of a sacrifice on our behalf. You see, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we are explained and we are taught that if we want to be fruitful, then we must not destroy the work of others. We must not contaminate, we must not twist, and we must not destroy. But rather we must build upon and we must contribute to the work of others, to each other's work. But now here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, we are fruitful by what we give for each other. And what we do for one another. And Christ, chapter 5, verse 2, is presented to us as the example, or rather the ensemble of the one that we have to follow. Christ not only gave His body, but Christ also gave His throne in heaven. Christ, says Philippians chapter 2, did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God. And yet, He made Himself man for our sake. Thus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lowered His standards, lowered His social status, lowered His position to be equal with us. And the reason why He did that was that first and foremost, so that He can present us as a sweet-smelling aroma in the presence of His Father. He came into the world, brethren, to guide us and to teach us in the will of God. So that once we learned what the will of God is, and once we were trained in how to be obedient and beloved children of God, we then would be a sweet-smelling aroma in His presence. Our Lord literally washed us from the filth of sin. But He not only washed us from the filth of sin, He nourished us. He nursed us back to health. He made us presentable so that we can go before the King of Kings and have that scepter of grace extended to us so that we can draw near to Him. Brethren, to be fruitful means that we have to help each other look presentable before God. It means that many times we have to wash one another with the Word of God. We have to help each other wash off the stains of sin. We have to heal the stripes that come upon our spiritual body from the sins that we stumble upon. We have to be like those servants who heard from the father of the prodigal son. Change him, heal him, and let us celebrate together. We have to be fruitful, brethren, in nursing each other back to good health. You see, brethren, we see here in verses 3 through 5 how the opposite effect happens when we are selfish. When we only think about increasing our own barns, but not seeking to keep our brother or sister's barn filled just as equally. In verses 3 through 6, brethren, or 3 through 5, excuse me, we see how there we find that when we only think about our own lusts, and when we only think about our own desires, we then become, brethren, the opposite of beloved. We become a shame to our Father. We become heartache to Him. But we also bring a stain upon the family name. Brethren, to be fruitful with one another doesn't just happen when we are together. It also happens especially when we are alone. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And observe what the Apostle Paul says, beginning there at verse 24. Or actually, let's drop down to verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Do not do it just because I will be there, says Paul. Don't let your motivation be that I'm going to come and you don't want me to see the reality of your situation. Do it because you know that this is fruitful. Do it because you know that this works. And it will make you multiply. It will make you multiply your spiritual blessings. It will make you multiply in regards to spiritual growth. It will make you multiply in your steadfastness in the promises of God. I don't need to be there for you to know that this works. I shouldn't be the reason why you're doing this. The reason should be because it works. It produces growth, and it brings forth good fruit. Whether I am absent or whether I am present, let me hear of your affairs. Notice how it's being fruitful to Paul. What do you think would happen to Paul when he would hear that the Philippians were growing? That the Philippians continued forward. That the unity there at Philippi had become strong. That the love was increased. That they did not stay just with the bare minimum. But they kept going, and they not only kept going, they edified upon the foundation that had been set there. Do you think Paul was going to get jealous and angry because they did it without him? Do you think that he was going to get upset? That he was going to get angry because how dare they make me look bad? Showing people it can be done without me? No, brethren. Once more, notice what the Apostle Paul says. I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Like a father to his children, when you leave this house, or when I have to leave the house, let me hear that you were able to survive without me. That you were able to continue on without me. Because what that says to me as your father is, I did my job right. I taught you the ways of the world. I trained you and prepared you how to survive in this world. And therefore, I did what was asked of me from God. Brothers, we should be fruitful in preparing the future of this congregation. We shouldn't be afraid of thinking about a time when we are no longer alive. We shouldn't be thinking about a time when we're no longer here to work. We should be thinking of how the generation that is coming after us and the generation coming after them will continue to work and will continue to multiply and build upon that which we built, so that then the other generations will build upon which all of us built. We cannot be greedy and selfish and only want to take care of this place while we are here, and have the mentality of, well, when I die, I don't care what's going to happen. I won't be there anyways. That is unfruitful thinking. Notice that Paul had a fruitful mentality of, whether I'm there or whether I'm gone, you keep growing. You keep moving forward, and you keep strengthening one another, so that I may hear of your affairs, that you are of one spirit, that you are striving together, being faithful of the gospel. Brethren, we have to be fruitful. Our relationship has to be fruitful, not only in the present, but more so for the future. Too many congregations have closed their doors in our lifetime because generations of the past did not pay mine, nor did they care about the generations of the future. Too much time is spent focusing only on the present. And in some cases, brethren, we spend too much time focusing on the past. We're always talking about the church of the first century and what they did. How about we start talking about the church of the 21st century and what we can do so that the church will continue to work in the 24th, 25th century if God gives us that much time? How about we talk about what we can contribute today for the church tomorrow? It's beautiful that when you think about God in relation to the church, God always thought in future tense, never in past tense. He always thought about the church in the future. Until this day, God continues to think about the church in terms of the future. You go toward Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22 and you see where God is already declaring and He's already speaking about when the church is in heaven after everything is said and done. How there will be no more temple. There will be no more sun. There will be no more light because Christ is the light. All of that is in the future. God's always looking forward. He's never looking backward. And hence why Jesus said, no one who puts their hand on the plow and looks back is worthy of the kingdom. To be fruitful, brethren, means to not to destroy the work of one another, but rather to build upon it. To be fruitful means to be beloved and to nourish each other. To be fruitful, brethren, is to prepare for the future. To leave something, a solid ground, a solid foundation for the future, so that the church will continue to grow and not have to reinvent the wheel and find a way of starting to grow. That is the problem, that we're always restarting the same things over and over again. Well, how do we grow? How do we begin? When the question for the future should be, how do we keep this going? How do we continue and finish what they started? So for you, my friend, you've already begun. You've already begun your journey by hearing the gospel in accordance to Romans 10:17. You've begun because you're still here, which means that you believe that the Word of God has power for transformation. Romans 1:16 and 17. But how do you finish? How do you complete your journey. Well, now you have to repent, and your repentance must be godly, which leads unto salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Your repentance means a change. A change that begins with you changing your mind of resisting God and instead accepting God's will. And when you do this, you then will be unafraid to confess Jesus before men. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33. You will confess that you believe with all of your heart, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 37 and forward, that he is indeed the Son of God, and that his blood is powerful to wash away your sins. But it's not just about talking the talk, it's also about walking the walk, which means that if your confession is true, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, I believed, therefore I spoke. In other words, there has to be action. And that action is baptism for the remission of your sins. If you truly believe what you confess, that the blood of Christ will wash away your sins, then prove it by coming in contact with the blood of Jesus in the waters of baptism. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And when you rise from the newness of, to a newness of life, then be fruitful. But how beautiful to know that from the moment you have given your life over to Christ, you are already contributing to the fruitfulness of the Lord's church. Because you are a fruit that stems from the branches of the true vine. Don't you want to be a part of the body of Christ this morning? If you are subject to this invitation call, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.